Greetings, O hallowed pilgrims, and welcome to the Grog Pod Roguelike Podcast, where each episode we walk the path of roguelike games, pray before Marduk or various snake gods, and see if its final rankings adds it to the hallowed halls of heroes at the end of the season. I am your podcast host of many colors, Scott Berger, and with me are my summoned minion co-hosts, fresh from the storm temples.
It is I, Colin, a sightless mass of writhing matter shaped into a body by willpower alone, worshiper of the worm.
Well, howdy, pilgrim. It's me, Andrew Harshman, here to struggle and rumble and writhe our way across this dusty trail.
Well, this episode, we are talking Path of Acra, released early access May 1st, 2023, and 1.0'd May 7th, 2024. This, I'm pretty sure, is a Steam exclusive, PC exclusive. And this is a solo dev effort by one Ulf Sire, who I believe comes from the state of Maine? Your average player of Path of Acra has about 35 hours of gameplay in it. And Path of Acra rolls in on our, teleports in onto our rankings here at the number 385 most popular roguelike game on Steam with 2,470 reviews. Normally, this is where I would send it to the peanut gallery here for our one sentence description. But because I think for the special occasion of a listener request week episode, I farmed it out to the community, like all good podcast hosts ought to do. So, so I asked the Path of Acra community how they would describe what Path of Acra in one sentence or so, and these were some of the descriptions that we got. First one from Y says, it's a traditional roguelike dungeon crawl with a focus on character builds over piloting. We got one from Serif with a one, says, oh God, everything is exploding. We have one from Disc Elemental, who says that Path of Acra is building a Conan villain-shaped Rube Goldberg machine. We got one from Hideo Kojima, who I'm surprised is in the Path of Acra Discord, says it's Egyptian doodles slash cave paintings, but playable. I like this one here from Scoops, who says, like a roguelike, but you start after having defeated the final boss, immediately kick through the very walls of existence, and hunt down God in the end times, only to slay it slash him slash her with the reality warping powers of violence, fire, lightning, poison, undeath, ice, raw magic, your mind, plant life, and blood. And then I guess maybe finally, Gin here describes Path of Acra as, quote, you recite the rigid violence.
excellent. I do love a good recitation.
Yeah, but yeah, this is a listener request week episode, and this is one that has been kind of shamefully sitting in our backlog for a long time. This is one that has actually gotten, I think, like our most requested episode by a wide margin. But it was hard to like find a slot to fit it in where it wasn't just immediately after another traditional roguelike. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh yes, I would love to jump in on this request train, grogpod.zone, we have a contact us page. Hit that. There's a button to submit your request for a game for us to cover, and it'll like I look at that list like every week. So and people are still submitting stuff to it. And yeah, if it fits in the schedule thematically and in an appropriate way, like today, we will walk the path to talk about it.
So Scott, how do you play this game? What happens in this game? let's not do the thing that we do every time, which is just start talking about our extremely nitpicks and like explain what the game is before.
You start the game and you know. Let me block off this 20-minute segment here to talk about holding down the tab button and I guess yeah. What do you do in this game? It's a turn-based, grid-based, procedurally generated I just love the Conan Rube Goldberg machine description, because I feel like that just fits so perfectly. But
Was
you.
it Conan villain? Because I think that's what I heard you say, and I feel like that does describe it better. You're
Yeah,
definitely a villain.
definitely.
You're the villain, you're
But
not Conan.
you're squashing like poisonous snakes and evil jeweled floating heads and such, and really, like, you could only be the hero if you are conquering the beasts of this bizarre land. But yeah, I think like this game was one that I was following for a while, because it is a coffee break roguelike game, in that some of the previous roguelike games that we've played, and some that kind of like dominate the landscape, are quite long in the tooth gameplay wise and age wise. But this was something new that came out, and if you are studied in the verses of Humbaba, you too can beat a run in this in maybe like 30 minutes or so. But it's a broken build simulator. It's like our previous episode, Rift Wizard. You are picking a culture, a class, and a religion, and you are setting off onto the path, to walk the path to the obelisk as the sea rises behind you. And you go around and just bludgeon monsters for 30 minutes to the importantly, to the hallowed guttural MIDI throat chanting music. That I quite enjoy. But yeah, I think, but way before we even get to rankings or anything, I kind of like this game a lot.
Cool. But
And
yeah, it's a sword and
I got a lot.
sorcery
Yeah.
grid-based game, where that, as our wise contributors, that you read the messages from the Discord, as our wise contributors mentioned, it is there's a big focus on your build. And right, the character creation screen is quite nice to look at. There's three important aspects that you pick out the gate, and you are just constantly leveling up and learning skills and cranking attribute points and going around slaying all sorts of pretty unique fantasy monsters. It's yeah, this game is primarily interested in the wanton destruction, the slaughter, and the character creation.
All I can say is that if you can tell what the monster is that you're slaughtering, then you're not playing the game right. Your screen, you should be able to just wipe them in one turn to kill them before you can even see what they are.
This is true. This is true. This game does not suffer from the let me print out a reference sheet of the controls and memorize, meditate on these controls. No. It's very streamlined, and that's appreciated.
And
And
Patrick,
yeah, you can tab key to quickly go to the next action, which is something that we saw in Tome, if I'm not mistaken, also. But
I
which
think this takes it to a much
oh,
larger
yeah, this is
degree,
true.
like almost to
Definitely.
like a borderline auto battler level.
yeah. I think
Almost.
basically you could play this game and have it just be tab and space, and then I guess you'd have to click the prayers. So those are the, I mean, so in the game, you have like a bunch of different spells, powers that you
Sure.
learn.
Oh, there you go.
Because you don't cast them individually. They're all passive slash they proc on certain events. So some of the events are like they proc on attack, on you standing still for a turn, or each religion god that you worship has three prayers that you can do, and there's a lot of things proc on that as well.
So yeah, it's kind of a fun little programming puzzle where you try to find things that synergize, because every power, every ability, every summons or cast of a magical firebolt or flame infusion centered on yourself is activated by one of these triggers, one of these conditions. And some people really like that. I I'm not sure if I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I think like in comparison, I think Rift Wizard is a very good comparison here because from what I remember from us playing that, it felt like there was a lot of there's a lot more like mechanics going on where like you summon like a rock golem, and upon rock golem summoning, like there is just like lots of like different I guess specificity of things. What am I trying to say? Like in comparison to this game,
there was a gazillion spells and each of them had sub spells.
Yeah.
But you would individually cast all those spells. So you'd be, you know, you would routinely end up being like, I have to choose from these 1 to 10 spells that I have, and I have to click on a very specific spot. And I feel like Rift Wizard was tactics. This game is strategy.
Ah, well put. Absolutely, absolutely. They may look kind of similar, but that difference between strategy and tactics is pretty important.
And I think
it makes it a much different game.
And I think where Path of Acre really shines is like the game has like an almost baffling amount of like text that it throws at you, but I feel like the gameplay systems are streamlined enough that it's just like, hey, here's like an encyclopedia's worth of stuff that's going on. But yeah, you can just hit the tab button and everything will be fine as long as you just kind of like match color with color of things. There's a nice little helpful help menu in this game that tells you the goal is to get to the exit of each level. You may kill enemies by attacking them, but it's not necessary. You gain glory for killing enemies and for entering new levels. And on the last level of every area, you will find one or more items which can greatly increase your capabilities. We kind of talked a little bit about the spells. We'll get to items here in a little bit, but I do want to talk about on this this help screen here. They talk a little bit about the prayers, but there's the kind of like action things that happen where, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but this is kind of like the main bullet points of when you attack things, when you hit things, when you deal damage, when you enter a new level, when you prayer, or when you shrug off or like prevent a hit with your armor.
Block or yeah.
Yeah.
Dodge.
And those are like the trigger types that you chain together in your evil Conan villain Rube Goldberg simulator of when you like on attack, then you'll hit and deal fire damage, and on dealing fire damage, you will teleport, and on teleporting, you will summon 10 snakes and things like that. And I feel like the logic chain for stringing those together, just, I don't know what it is about like about this game that feels like much more straightforward and like easy to Lego piece those together versus like other, like we in our recent Dysomancer episode that we played, it felt like it was trying to get there but didn't quite make that connection. And Rift Wizard was almost like too many of those trigger types. Does that sound right?
I think Rift Wizard had a lot of sub spells that were hard to it was hard to learn what they were going to do beforehand, or like figure out how it was going to build into your, or to synergize into your build, versus I feel like the sequence of events, I mean, it's not perfect. There's definitely some issues I have with figuring out what is going to happen on a turn. But like you can see like, ah, this on hit does this thing, which deals ice damage. And then I have the thing on ice damage that deals freeze. And then on freeze, it does this. And so you can be like working out this web of what is going, like how your things are going to synergize that appeals greatly to me. But I mean, like, I don't know. I put like 25 hours into this, and probably 5 hours of that was just like staring at the pick your person and like pick your powers and trying to figure out like how I was going to build a build.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause like in Rift Wizard, it's like you select like Thunderbolt, but like, and that's like, oh, you cast a Thunderbolt, but then there's like, you know, 5 sub spells to that, and you're kind of like clicking down like this complexity tree. Whereas this, it's like you pick the damn spell, and then you just like it just does the stuff. Like I'm reading off the storm calling spell here from Path of Acre. It says on attack, summon a number of ball lightnings at random tiles. Amount summoned equals 2x skill level of storm calling, which I think like that kind of feels like just the right amount of text of like, okay, this is the thing, this is what it does, here's how it scales, here's like the Lego pieces for how it hooks into other things. So now, like, okay, if I want to summon like 500 ball lightnings, I just have to do a whole bunch of attacks. All right, what are the
a
other?
A lot of attacks, and also maybe level up that spell.
Yeah, level up
the
spell.
Figure
get
out
that
like,
willpower.
All right, multiple attacks and multiple. You gotta multiply them at the same. Yeah, I feel like two other games that kind of make me think of this in the same space is the wand construction in Noida. Or
oh,
Noida,
sure.
however you say it, and then Cube Chaos, trying to figure out like what is this spell going to do, like going three levels deep into various things, like how is, okay, I got this, and then it's going to make a thing, and then it's going to make a thing. But
yeah, by tying everything to like a specific trigger, I feel like it makes it, you know, pretty digestible.
Yeah,
but I kind of wish they'd gone maybe an extra step to make it even more obvious for FPS meathead such as myself. Like I was hoping there would be some kind of, I don't know, little subtle highlight, like, hey, you're looking at this spell and the triggers present in this spell are also present in these ones. Could I interest you,
Andrew,
in this ability? Is there such a thing?
Andrew, I think this may be another classic case of podcasters missing a key illuminating structural pillar of the game that
I know that some of the keywords are different colors.
Yep.
And I did look for that.
And I will give you credit in that, like, this feature is maybe a little hard to find, a little easy to miss. But in the upper right, there is a search bar.
Oh, I did. Sure. I suppose I did notice that the last time I booted it up. Is that the key?
Yeah, because like,
I mean, it's a key.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you are trying to do something that like triggers like on hit, like I want to like, oh my God, there's so many spells. Like I have this really cool item that does stuff on hit. I want to like scale stuff off of that. The search bar, like this is like a baseline. Like this just like makes the game a 7 out of 10 just for this, for me, I think, of like just the perfect solution for what I was wanting from Rift Wizard of like, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on. Where
you don't
are
have to
the
make your own Excel sheet.
Yeah. Where are the things that link up to each other? And this Control F, like this search bar button is genius for this, because like now I'm able to say, ah, yes, I will search my my bag, my inventory, or my spell list for stuff that's on hit. And ah, yes, the Transal Chakram does on hit effects, or the Thunderblade does on hit effects. What can I do to, and like it will dim everything else and highlight those to kind of point you in the right direction for that stuff.
Well, handy. What a deal. Well, quickly, I want to deflect. We always give a particular game feature short shrift on this podcast, and that is, of course, the music. And so I want to make sure we talk about the music nice and early. I like the music.
You mean the song?
The song is a long song, though, and it's like varied, and it's not like so hyper specific that like it annoys you. Of course, there's no like lyrics. It doesn't take like a big chance. And actually, I'm going to do an impersonation of it right now. It goes something like this. Burp, 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 burp. Oh. Bing, 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 bing. Come on, Scott. Oh, bing, bong. You get the idea. It's good. It's like got this. It does set a tone, and I appreciate that. It's got this. It's, you know, this interesting
Bronze Age. Yeah, I mean, there's like a theming of this game that is very cool. Like, it's like Bronze Age. It is Babylonian level of like, it feels like you're in some like dawn of time. The written word has just been invented, and there's still like the gods of Marduk and whatnot. And I feel like the song does a really good job of like conveying that theme. I do wish that there was like one or two more songs. The fact that there's not a different song when you get to the weird like second set of levels where you're in like space or something,
yeah, that
like
would've been
give me
good.
Like the space Bronze Age.
Yeah, we need space. We do need that. I was trying to combine those two, and it's just like, oh, if you combine space and Bronze Age, you just get Space Age.
I want three songs. I want three songs.
For the soundtrack, technically there are 10 songs.
Yeah, they're not different enough.
But yeah, I mean, like, 100% agree. I think that, like, the music to this game, I think, is great for what little there is. I mean, there's maybe, like, let's say 10 minutes of soundtrack, but a lot of the tracks do kind of sound pretty similar. I think, like, a good corollary to this is the Balatro soundtrack, which is also, like, 10 minutes long, but has, like, variations on its theme depending on, like, if you go into the shop or, you know, if you go into, like, the boss blind or things like that. Like, the theme, like, change, it's like, you know, it's like the music changes color almost. Whereas this, like, the music is just like a dark blood red the whole time, and I'm super on board for it, don't get me wrong. I love how, like, ancient and foreboding it is. It reminds me a lot of in Super Metroid when you get to, like, the Norfair levels, and there's, like, these drums in the deep and, like, this, like MIDI, like, chanting and just, like...
I'm ready for a blood sacrifice, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I think the music is excellent. Excellent, excellent as an intro, like a first impression into the game. And I think it does a really good job of, like, setting the tone for, like, the early stuff when you're just, like, getting your build online. And I don't want to bash the music too much because I do really like it. I just wish that there was a little bit more variation in it, especially in the later levels where it does feel like maybe you're not in the Bronze Age anymore. You're in, like, the magic astral void or something.
Yeah, because so. I 100% on that, because, like, it feels like when you get to elite fights or, like, boss fights, that it just kind of feels like, oh, it's just another stage. But whereas Balatro would be like, okay, the theme of the music has, like, tonally shifted, so you're like, oh, something different is happening now. I feel like that could be played to pretty good effect here, while still being, like, you know, thematically appropriate and all that. But yeah, 100% agree. You know, this would, a lot of times we say less is more, and I think in this case more is more, for just, like, the atmosphere of the soundtrack, for sure.
Yeah.
Is this game still in early access? Or is
it fully released? It came out of early access last year.
Okay.
Indeed.
But it is still pretty early in its, like, life cycle. It's still actively being developed.
Well,
the sequel is underway.
Yeah, I think from what I've been spying on various roguelike discords is that the solo developer, Ulfsire,
real quick about Ulfsire, shocking that this man is not from Scandinavia. I realize that's probably a screen name, but still, I was just like, oh yeah, that, like, it's, you said Ulfsire, I had this picture in my mind of a hermit game developer, a wise hermit out on a snowy cliff in the somewhere in the Norwegian tundra, working tirelessly on this game, and the theme of the game matched perfectly. And then it's like, he's from Maine?
Maine is pretty much the Scandinavia.
What the?
It's close. Well, I guess maybe Alaska.
I see.
Or Minnesota. But Maine's pretty close.
But so the solo dev is working on the sequel.
Yeah, I think that Path of Acra here is more or less feature complete, and that I don't think we'll be getting any kind of new content for it, which I think is fine. I think, like, this game is probably as feature complete as it needs to be. Because, I mean, you can always put the soundtrack on mute and fire up the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack and play that in the background. But yeah, Lands of Acra, the sequel, I think is supposed to be maybe coming into early access this year, 2025. So a potential stay tuned, maybe sometime later this summer.
I don't really want there to be more. Well, I could have more in the way of features, but I feel like some quality of life things would be the thing that I would wish for most for this game. But those might be as difficult to do as features, which I mean, solo dev, single person roguelike game, I feel like oftentimes who knows what's going on behind this the scenes in the game. It might be easier to just say like, wow, that was really interesting. I got a lot of good ideas. I'm gonna start from scratch and I'll be able to build a better game the second time rather than try and keep iterating on
Yeah.
this engine that I built.
And from what I know from listening to interviews with him, that he originally wanted solo dev Ulfsire got his start by making Warcraft 3 mod maps.
Oh,
And
really?
excellent.
Okay,
Excellent
sure. That
provenance.
tracks.
And yeah, I think there's a roguelike, let's see if I can find the name of it here in the 5 seconds from when I took the notes.
World of Warcraft
Warcraft.
3, of course, we got Dota out of that.
Yeah.
We got remember
Trying to
getting so
find.
mad being at LAN parties and I couldn't get people to play yet another match of DDoS 2 because they were too busy playing this World of this Warcraft mod. Give me a break, campaign builder. Psh, baloney.
I believe it is just called Ulfsire's roguelike
All right,
that
yeah.
you can download for Warcraft 3, but inspired by Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup. Doesn't yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that yeah, I think that using that as kind of like, okay, here's like a test bed for how to like do game dev stuff. Wound up getting into the Godot engine to just start like noodling around with it, because I think they ultimately wanted to make like a 4X game, but maybe like let's baby step it here first. Just happened to create Path of Acro along the way,
Oh,
and that
yeah.
Lands of Acro, I believe, is
Nice.
supposed to be like a Path of Acro themed like 4X game,
Oh.
that I
Wow.
think takes place at like canonically after the events of Path of Acro.
Now, can you really say that there are events in Path of Acro? Well, you can say
Ha.
there are story fragments, that's for sure.
Can you? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And we get when you get that awesome, music pumping, you get a nice intro screen. You get exactly the music you want to hear when you gaze upon the Dune Sea, where there are rumors of marauders adorned in gold. You see an altar lit with sickly green flames. And you get that you're treated when you start a run to these different snippets, which they're maybe not super informative, but they set a vibe. There's some like world building there, and it's like you'll read off some I'm not totally sure. Are these like bespoke are these customized little things based on your character creation choices?
I think at the
Feels like it's
start
doing
of
a
the
little bit of
game,
Mad Libs.
yeah, I think at the start of the game, it pulls from the culture, class, and religion that you pick. Like for example, the waters come, O Acra, a rippling silver hand, O pilgrim, O disciple of Apophis. That's
Yeah,
where it's
this
kind
is
of like inserted from your
all right.
character selection.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Yeah, and this game has a great lexicon, has a wonderful writing voice about it. And it loves, it's calling you a pilgrim. It's calling you a traveler. It's calling you a struggler. It's got all these fun. I'm frankly shocked that at the main menu there is a start option. Like, surely that should have been something more verbose and dramatic.
Wait, is I thought it was, oh yeah. The before you get to the start, the options are like the where you get to the start is the path. I feel
All
like
right, okay, pardon
it
me.
should it start should have been like, but then you get to the next one and you pick all your stuff and it says start, which I feel like you could have continued on that. Continue the path.
Continue the path. Which I realize, as a dev, especially a solo dev, you probably want people to be able to, figure out how to start the game. So that's
No, I
understandable.
don't feel like this game is particularly like, if that's the kind of game you need, this is not the game for you.
Not concerned with that. A couple of co other call outs about the UI, the language used in the UI. Once you have leveled up enough and you can unlock, there's different prerequisites and you can pick a prestige class, like in third edition. Dungeons and Dragons. You pick your subclass or what have you, or not even subclass. I guess it's a prestige class. You've achieved enough in like different vocations that you can now get something fancy schmancy, like become a lightning ninja or what have you. And when you select it, instead of hitting something boring like, you know, okay or confirm selection, it just, there's a button that just says become exclamation mark, become the lightning ninja.
So good.
And of course, like, when you level up, you know, you get the little smashes that says your glory rises. And
right,
and
yeah, it's not levels, it's glory.
Definitely not levels. Yeah.
And like, then, like everything, like, yeah, all of the wording, all the verbiage is like so spot on for the theming of the game.
It's very good. It goes to show that you can achieve a lot without fancy graphics. And and let's not forget, the difficulty is referred to the cycle of degradation. No, I thought that was podcasting. Am I right, fellas? So that's, and I, of course, you know, as an accomplished rogue-like podcaster, I've seen those cycles. I've been to the washing machine and I ran it on extra heavy cycles of degradation. Let me tell you.
Well, I only made it to the second one. Importantly, Andrew, you are on the second cycle of degradation, meaning that you've beaten the first cycle of humility, and that you have 30 more cycles to complete.
Woo.
with all sorts of fun like difficulty names, such as the sixth cycle of annihilation, or the seventh cycle of apocalypse, or the 12th cycle of glory.
Wow, it's even better. I thought they were all degradation.
So, question, do those names mean anything?
No.
At first I thought that they were like modifiers for the game, which I'm pretty disappointed, or I was pretty disappointed to, because I'm pretty sure they're not. I wanted it to be like, you're on the third cycle, and it just like picks things, because I think that's one of my biggest criticisms of the game, is that you can plan your whole build before you start the run, and there's not a whole lot of variation in it. Like you get different items and you fight different things along the way, but like you can pretty much say like, well, I'm going to do a run where I'm doing ice stuff, and just end up with exactly the build that you thought you were going to end up with.
Yeah, it's almost like again, similar to Rift Wizard 1, in that you have all of the things laid bare before you, and you can kind of go in with a plan of like, I think like this, it kind of like takes the traditional roguelike formula and kind of like spins it on its head a little bit of like, well, instead of like picking up items along the way that will define my build per se, I'm going to define the theme of what I want to accomplish here to start with, and then I will pick up like the items along the way that will like be the kind of finishing touch on top of that.
I think it could have pulled a page from Rift Wizard's book, though, because so Rift Wizard, each level had, well, not necessarily, but could have the thing that made it so your points went further for certain flavors of magic. I think you could have something like that in this as well, where it's your build does have to react slightly to what you encounter along the way a little bit more. Like, oh yeah, you know, I know for sure I'm gonna do an ice build, but like, oh, I see that there's a death temple here, and it's like, well, maybe I should do an ice death build rather than an ice life build that I kind of thought I was gonna do, because you know, I've built up a bunch of points and like, wow, I can get a lot more money. My money's worth here.
Yeah. And I think this was something that Rift Wizard 2, I think, did like pivoted away from, and was more of like, okay, like the things that you pick up along the way are much more consequential to your play style than just being like, okay, yeah, I definitely know what I'm going to try to force this run. And then like, oh, I just happened to get the item that completes it, or dang, I didn't get the item that completed it, and I failed this run sort of thing. Rift Wizard 2, yeah, has like a much like it's more restricted, I think, on the spell side, and more focused on the things you pick up along the way side. It'd be like in Path of Acre if like almost like if you picked up your spells along the way in addition to your items or something like that.
I would agree with that more if it weren't for the fact that you basically see all of the treasures every run. You see like three quarters of them.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, okay, I'm going to do the build where I get that chest plate and I get the other helmet and they go together and they synergize. And you can just be like, well, I probably will. Like, unless they happen to be on two separate sides of the three thing, like there's not really that much in the ways of pathing.
Or you're going through your favorite teleport ice bludgeon build as you do, and you're just like, oh man, I really want that item that really will just like complete this build, but it's behind the green tower with 20 floors of enemies that all have 90% ice resist, and you're like, nope, ain't picking that one.
Yo, you know what deals with something that has 90 ice resist? 100 ice. You just need to have 1,000% ice, and then that 90% becomes 100%.
There you go.
Of victory.
Yeah, I think it's probably important to talk about like the cycle scaling also, in that like there are various enemies that you encounter that have specific stats to them. But those stats can scale depending on the cycle. So for example, like if I just pick one out of a hat here, I don't know how to pronounce that one. This Tethic Knight, a lord of the Tethic Order, armed with a ritualistic feigned blade and inhabits the Red Tower. They have 300 accuracy that scales with the cycle and 500 armor that scales with the cycle. So the like when you're first playing it on cycle one, like, oh, you know, they'll just be kind of like a trash mob or something. But on cycle 32, the Outer Dark, the accuracy and armor will be way higher than they were when you first were playing it. And so like that enemy just becomes like way, way different as a result of that difficulty scaling. But crucially, your glory gain, again, the titling,
which is level.
Yeah. Why use levels when you can have glory? Your glory gain is accelerated at higher difficulties. So like, yeah, the enemies will be harder, but like on cycle 30, the Sunken World, or cycle 31, the Broken Tower, you will be gaining levels so fast to start with that you'll basically have like a completed build by, I don't know, like the fourth or fifth stage or something. And at that point you're just like, okay, how broken can I make this?
You just hold down tab until you win or lose.
And so some people say, frequent commenter to the podcast on YouTube, Leechy the Crawler says, personally, I found the mid cycles to be hardest, but that could have been due to my misunderstanding of the game. On higher cycle, status effects become a lot more problematic IMO, since enemies can apply 50 plus at once. So yeah, I think like there's this kind of like weird like difficulty, like the middle difficulty zone has like this weird U-shaped curve to it that starts to become more and more broken and laughably scaled as you get to cycle 32 as well. But the Path of Dust, I think, is where our final boss really shows his final colors. Well, I guess like maybe before we get there, we've talked cycles.
We've talked about the King of Many Colors.
Yeah. So maybe let's talk about like the path itself. So along the path of Acre, you will, I think this is a very clever way to do like a food or like a food clock or like a ticking clock mechanism of like the ocean is rising behind you and like engulfing this island that you're walking the path on. So you can't go backwards. You can only move forwards because you see, this is why the global warming sea level rise thing is so important to learn about, because it's going to limit how many turns we have to get to the obelisk. Anyway, you come to the stage select screen, the path, and you have an option to pick of, you know, one of three arenas or zones that will have various enemies, and they'll have potential rewards to them, where I think, let's see, normal encounters are like three floors, unique non-towers are one floor, and towers are random, anywhere from like 5 to 8 or 3 to 5, depending on the tier of them. And yeah, I think those wind up giving out more glory. But anyway, like you'll see like, oh, here's like a big list of loot that you can get at the end of this level. And here's a list of all the horrific monsters that you'll encounter as well. And I feel like there's this like interesting push-pull of like, okay, how bad do I want those items versus like how much am I gonna get bludgeoned by this 90% astral resist enemy that I have to fight? And also kind of remembering what the enemies are and what they do. Because if you go in and you're like, okay, like this thing that looks like in a smiling gingerbread man should be no problem. Oh, but it does like 5,000 psychic damage to me. What killed me again? That could be a run ender. But yeah, you'll have like elite zones to fight. You'll get to the obelisk, which is the I guess the quote unquote end of the game. But there's an epilogue. You go through the obelisk. Let's say you fight what are some good obelisk bosses here? You have the horror giant, a towering figure of shimmering, volatile substance, the god at the end of the world, unless. There's the Volgite, a twisting mercurial shape called down from the void to feast on the lands of Acra. It's so good. You kill one of those guys, and then you ascend into the astral plane, or the astral wall, and you walk the star path to, I guess
that
this
was
is
a
also
nice little surprise. again, you can do a lot, with a little bit visually. If you play your cards right and you set the scene with that music and that writing and, you know, stylized, but, you know, simple graphics. Yeah, the first time I got through the first map and popped out into the star map, I was that caused me to sit up straight in my seat. I was going to say I was blown away, but I wasn't really blown away. But I was pretty impressed. I thought it was cool.
Your interest was piqued.
My interest was piqued, absolutely.
And I feel like some of the monster descriptions here are pretty great, where there's the white demon, a demon composed of white crystals born from the fumes of an eaten star. Like, there's just this, like, it becomes, like, so, like, mythologically, like, cosmological at this point, where I'm just like, yep, I'm all in. But I think, like Colin was saying, you know, like, you see basically all the items throughout the game, and I was kind of expecting here that like, oh, well, this is where like all the super loot will be.
But no,
it's just like, it's just the rest of the loot table.
Some of it is better, but it's not like,
yeah, come on, I want to see the star sword, the star shield, the star armor, the star loincloth.
I mean,
you know,
there is
time to go really, you know, balls to the wall with some like crazy wild over
the
top. The
doom, there is the doom blade.
The doom blade. Oh my god.
That's the one that Samuel Hayden took from you at the end of the yep. 2016 game.
Correcto mundo.
There's, if you look at the armory, there's a set that are in purple, which I think are the ones you can get only in the
purple.
Void.
Ooh, purple. More purple robes.
There's the
Come
dragon
on.
Sword. There's the cosmic flail. There is the wind laced ribbon.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Oh yeah, and like, then there's the Starstone disc plate, which is the Flava Flav style giant clock looking thing that you
Hell
can put
yeah.
on your chest armor.
That's a star forged disc once decorated the chest of the mighty Kashra of the Star Path.
All right. Here's one that I posted in our Discord. The rat banner. Our flag of the rat flourishers, a mercenary emblem of the rat men. Outstanding. Love to see some rats.
We got a
RPG.
Good item here for Will, who is absent, called the Rage Fetish. But yeah, I think that like the item descriptions
what?
Here.
What am I saying about our absent co-host? Yeah, unfortunately, Will could not be here. He's too busy. Oh, I don't know.
He's addicted to Skooma.
Some other game. He's addicted to Skooma. He's literally playing right now. He's playing Oblivion right now. Which I don't know about you fellas. I played that game like 15 years ago. A little late to the party, if you ask me.
Stop right there, podcast scum.
So, you know.
I want a Morrowind roguelike.
Colin, strap in. Caves of Cud.
No, I've played Caves of Cud. Caves of Cud is too weird.
It's too weird.
It's
Oh,
too
you want
hard.
something that's like the Morrowind engine, but
That's fair.
roguelike.
Yeah, no. I mean, I am prepared for I am strapped in for Caves of Cud at some point, but
Yeah, but in
need to
traditional
like
Will
get a PhD.
fashion, he fired up this game, and he, I don't know, on our Discord chat, he, I guess he thought he was making some grand, like, great point. He's like, "This is the kind of crap I can't put up with. Like, look at this." And it's just like the main menu artwork, which is like
So good.
delightful. It's delightful. It's great. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
This is
No,
yeah.
it did not grab him. At all.
Will not the biggest fan of pixel art to begin with, but I think that
Matt.
like the main menu theme, you have like this like just like pixelated star background that's just like very subtly blinking back and forth. Like, I think if you're into pixel art, it looks like very emblematic and thematic for what the game is all about. There's like a giant serpent head. There's this like extremely overly muscled hero figure with
I don't think it's good, but I do like it a lot. It pleases me, but I don't find it to be, I don't think it is like great artistic vision, but it's
Sure,
like,
sure. I like
it's
it. I
silly and fun
yeah,
and great
sure.
and feels like a good blood void.
Good old Blood Void. And what I appreciate in terms of the art direction and some of the decision making is that they chose to position us, the viewer, behind the subject of the muscled barbarian who is flailing his arms and waiting
Wait.
for a hit trigger to go off.
So I was looking at the I wanted to go look at the thing, and then so there's your start menu options. The first one is the path, and that's basically play the game. Then the second one is the Macabre, which is where you see your the people that you have played, and at the top its introductory text is, "O pilgrim, recline in thy glory." She's like,
So
man, that's
good.
so fucking good.
Yeah, recline in thy glory,
Like,
baby.
oh man, like so they do so much with just like some good flavor text. Like it just adds to the like that you the, that that there's no change in that. It could just be like, look at your guys. But no, the way that you say that makes me just like, I do want to recline in my glory and look at my past glory and deeds.
How shocked would you be to learn that the solo dev of this game prior to making Path of Acre had published a book on poetry and was also working in a bakery prior to this?
Yeah, that sounds about
Oh.
right. This is the opposite of like
Yeah, watch your dough rise.
when you
Yeah.
play like when we played Lone Star and we're like, I bet you that this developer doesn't speak English as their first language. This one is like, I bet you that this guy got a majored in like literature. Like
Comparative
maybe
mythology
not
and
actually, but you're like, oh yeah, no, this guy has read some like he's wrote r he's read the Vedas or the what are the Icelandic all of the Icelandic sagas and whatnot.
sure,
Yeah,
quite probably.
Scott is
This one, you
oh
mean? The
my
sagas of
God.
the
Scott is,
Icelanders? This
yes, Jesus, how many pages is that?
wow, he's
This
got
is
this has got
a
to be like a first edition. It's bound in mammoth hide.
782 page book featuring Ulf the Squinter, Ulf the Fearless, Vestar Hannigsson,
No, these are real people, not
Well,
all the
I mean,
stars.
also they're, I'm pretty sure half of them
Well, okay.
are blood apes.
Aren't we all?
Grim Grimolfsson, Grim Bardonson. Yeah, there's, I mean, 700 pages of excellence. So the King of Many Colors, as we were talking about, is your final, the titular final boss, an invader from beyond the astral wall. So good. Summoner of demons, the quote, king who once wandered, master of distorted light, who rules the astrolith. Just enough of that kind of Star Warsian, like, what in the hell is the astrolith? Tell me more. But it's just like, no,
No.
you're gonna have to find out.
Yeah, hopefully they don't overexplain in Lands of Acra. That'd be a shame to have some kind of crazy sequence where the colorless king is ripping through Princess Leia's ship with a lightsaber. Bunch of unnecessary CG. What a time. And when you do succeed, you get a pretty sweet, I complained about, you know, notepad, readme, text, victory screens. And, you know, this could have accidentally been that. Other lesser games, it would have been victory and here's your, you know, here are your stats. Boring. This game, you are treated to like some customized Mad Libs, some procedurally arranged text based on, you know, what you did in the run and what your build was like, which is cool. Oh, Pilgrim, pride of Pallas, which of course is one of the gods of the cosmic struggle of the receding waters of legendary skill, master of the Thunderbolt. Thy spirit unstoppable. And you get this nice little screen. It of course says victory at the top, just so you're not too terribly confused in your stats and everything. And it you know, feels like an achievement, and it's fun to sit back and recline in thy glory.
Yes, indeed, indubitably.
I mean, even when you fail, it says, "Oh, struggler of rising skill, seeker of," in this case, the burning hand. Thy death passes to legend on the glimmering path.
The glimmering path. Love a glimmering path. Get a nice little bit of flavor text about simply, like, you got munched on by a damn lava worm or something like that. I believe it's a different text depending on which monster kills you. It's pretty dandy. I think the world building is, you know, fantasy has seen a, you know, explosion in popularity, especially, you know, in gaming. I'm thinking of just, you know, Dungeons and Dragons has gotten super popular in recent years, and it can be a little tricky to come up with something that's, you know, original and catches your eye. So definitely admire that. You know what else is, you know, classic in Dungeons and Dragons is, of course, your character creation. You got your class and you got your race. And it's only in recent updates that Dungeons & Dragons has been able to kick the outdated, dusty idea of, like, race selection. and I appreciate that in this game, you don't have race. You have culture. And
yes, like some notable cultures,
notable classic.
Your classic fantasy culture, the Strahn, a wanderer of the eastern desert, a desert guarded by a loyal woolly beast, or your classic culture of the penguin people, or the classic skeleton culture, or everyone's favorite culture of the apes, a furried denizen of the deep forest and secret mountain caves, prefers nakedness, fights with primal strength.
No, I mean, I definitely do prefer the sightless mass of writhing matter shaped into a body by willpower alone.
By willpower alone.
That's not my race. It's not my species. That's just my culture.
By will write alone. How many options of each are there of the three cultures, classes? And
looks like.
Ooh, 24 times three, folks. How many?
No, you gotta do the combinatorics.
Yeah, there's
how many possible combinations are there? 24 times 24 times 24.
Permutations, but I don't know.
Many,
the right
many
word.
Is the answer.
There's a lot. We're gonna do that. This game can do that. That
13,000
Borderlands thing where it's like there's 13,000 different character options. Like, oh, come on. It's cool. It's groovy, and you know we're unlocking new ones at a good clip, and it's fun to try it out. And try out, you know, different options, and I think the game does a pretty good job of giving you new stuff, new toys to play with.
I mean, even if you just pick the ape, you have an ape Reaver of Apophis, you have the ape Amir of Hadad, you have the ape Templar of Ashem, the ape Nartaka of Humbaba. I mean, the possibilities are endless here of just ape people. Ape cultures, I should
true.
Say.
I regrettably did not unlock the ape.
You could be an ape zealot of the worm.
Would you love me if I was still, if I was an ape zealot of the worm? Well, yeah, I think crucially, like the unlocks in this game are interesting in that when on a run, you gain glory, and every 20 glory that you gain grants you a random unlock between, like, randomly between either one of the cultures, classes, or religions. And I was, when I was first playing, I was like, man, like, would this game be better if it just had an unlock all button? But at the same time, I feel like it's a good on ramp.
I think it would be worse if you were had all of them unlocked.
Because it would just be like baffling.
It'd be overwhelming.
What on earth am I looking at with this flaming tombstone or this?
How many? You start with like two of each, right?
Something like that. That sounds right.
Which I feel like is the appropriate amount.
Yeah.
Like, and like, two, one, this or this, this or this, this or this. Like, that is the amount of brain power that you can use for that first run.
And I think I was maybe overly hyper fixated on, like, just give me the damn ape class. I just want to play as the ape. And that was, like, the second to last thing that I unlocked overall. Mm-hmm. But, like, the first few runs that you go through, it's like, oh, man, this is going to take forever to unlock. But, like, the higher cycles you play on, like, that glory just goes like bananas, focusing on the ape theme. And like you just like unlock stuff at like a blistering pace, and like you unlock like everything in lickety split time. So I think like the pace of unlocks is there more of just as like a maybe don't get overwhelmed all at once feature, which I can kind of appreciate. If you're like me and you're like, well, is there an unlock all button? If you go into, at least on Windows, if you navigate to your app data folder, roaming, this will be interesting to see how the transcript autocomplete does this. App data / roaming / Godot / app _ app user data / POA. And then you edit the settings or setting - data.json file. There you can kind of, what?
Could you go through all those again? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. There's a setting data JSON file that you can like right click and edit in Notepad, and you can see, oh, these are the like the exact things that are like locked, and these are the things that are unlocked. And you can just move the text back and forth and be like, okay, now I've unlocked everything. Great. Which, you know, like if like you have lost your save file or something, I can see that being a way to kind of get back into it. But yeah, like there's no meta progression. There's no like thing to, I mean, other than I guess the very slight on ramp for classes and stuff, there's no meta progression of like, oh, like unlocking all these things to make my characters better. It's more, I guess, maybe just more of kind of like the cycle difficulty as like a level of like high score in a way, maybe like your accumulated career glory as a way, like before hitting the record button, Colin's showing a screenshot of his like 1200 glory on the ninth cycle of disintegration that he was on, versus me on my lowly 600 glory in the seventh cycle of apocalypse. I'm like, well, okay, now I got to get to the ninth cycle of
beautiful,
or the 10th cycle of consumption in order to regain that high score meter.
All right, I think it's time for the airing of grievances.
Oh dear.
Uh-oh.
All right, so we've been saying a lot of good things about this game, and I do like this game a lot.
And this is where I'll stop the recording.
But there are some glaring flaws in the game that keep me from being able to give it like a truly excellent score. There's a little bit of nitpicks in here, but the main one is the event log. So many of these turns, you click space, which lets you stop and do nothing, and then a gazillion events trigger, and literally like 100, 200, 300 things, individual lines, so many that you can't even, it will scroll past where you can't go back to your previous turn. It is incomprehensible. It would be better in some ways if it just didn't even show it.
I think it's pretty rough. It's like in a mecha anime or any sci-fi anime where like it seems like just placeholder scrolling text that's like going by, like something cool is happening on the sci-fi screen, something cool is happening in the cockpit of your Eva.
And the problem is that there's no other way of getting information on what happened during your turn. Like, what did damage? Like, what is doing the killing in my build? Like, there have been plenty of times where I'm like trying to get stuff, and then I'll be like, wait a second, I'm not even getting, like, why? I have all these things that heal me, but I'm not getting healed. Why? It's like, oh, because I killed them before the thing that triggers the healing even happened, but I didn't know that was happening because I literally could not tell what was happening during the turn. So, like, I think that's the biggest, when I say quality of life, I want like a graph. Like, okay, during my turn, what effect did damage and how was it triggered? Or like, let me, I mean, this would be truly miserable in some ways, but like, let me like click next, 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 and have it like step through each event. Like we're, you know, going into our coding environment and just like doing next step a bunch of times. Like, what is, I want to be able to like walk through a sequence of events so that I understand how all these things are, you know, you can try and mind map it out, but
yeah. And I think
it's hard
coming back to the comparison to Rift Wizard. I think if I remember right, Rift Wizard, I think A is slower. So it's kind of like easier. Like you shoot the teleport thing, and then like the enemies, like this enemy over here will do a thing, this enemy over here will do a thing. And it's like, it's slower, but you can, like, your brain has time to process what's happening.
Yeah.
This is like Rift Wizard on like turbo crack, where it's like going so fast. Like, A, I like that it's like super fast, but
yeah, I was gonna say, this is the area of agreement is like, this game is too optimized. I can't tell what's happening because it's running so fast.
But to your point, like, you know, you walk into a room and then like things just start auto triggering. You're like, you see your health bar going down. You're like, what option do I have to stop this? And then you, like, you're just dead immediately. And I think Rift Wizard has a like a safety bar mechanism where, like, if I'm remembering right, if like an enemy like does basically like overkill damage to you, it will cap that to like one HP or like some 10% value or something. And then like, then you'll be like, okay, that was like a fatal hit that it just did. It's going to kill me for sure again the next time. But I saw what it did. So how am I going to react to that? Path of Acker just moves way too fast for you to process that. And I think that if you have like a life system here based on the prayers, which is super clever. And I feel like if, when you lost one of those lives in that like super fast sequence of like, holy shit, a whole bunch of stuff just happened. I lost a life, like maybe not intentionally. Insert a pause break there and be like, okay, let's assess the situation. Was that something that I wanted to have happen? What do I do next?
There have been times where so many things happened that I was like, wait, why can't I cast? Why do I have zero casts of these spells? I was like, oh, apparently I died at some point during that turn. And I got like, you know, these prayers at the top, they fill up under various circumstances. And when you die, if you have a full prayer slot, that goes to zero and you're, you know, brought back with some amount of life. Literally, like, I didn't know that had happened because there were so many things happening and the log was going by so fast. I was like, apparently I died at some point. Like, that shouldn't really happen. Like, maybe even just like, hey, we're not going to stop your turn. It's still going to happen, continue happening. But like, we're going to pause for a second and let you be like, just so you know, you did die. you're being resurrected, but you might die again. You have no control over it. You're still on this train.
I think another kind of nitpick that I have about the game, because I do like so much of it, but what do we think about the arena design?
It hardly matters, at least at the level that I'm playing the game. Yeah, that's for me personally, I don't know, the lack of meaningful movement is a little bit of a deal breaker, which is not, I mean, that just means, you know, it's not a, it's that's a personal choice. Like, And I'm sure that they're at higher levels. There's more to it. But something that I engaged with like almost immediately with Rift Wizard was that moving around felt important and meaningful. And again, I get that just Path of Acra is like a different game. And that's like not necessary. That's not really the focus. I don't know, you high level guys, you tell me, do any of the arenas make a difference? I don't know. There was like one time where I was getting like sniped from across the map, by like some beholders that was kind of a pain in the butt, but that was like about it.
The run I did with no powers, that mattered a lot because you didn't have stuff and you were just like relying on swinging that axe to blow up stuff. Because movement is very difficult. Like for most builds that I've done, the key is to not move. It's to like have things or like, I haven't been able to get a good melee build most of the time because it takes too long to get to enemies. And it's just more efficient to have things that do damage at a distance or like AOE or like the whole map. Just like, well, just do something that kills everything at once. And that is better than slowly walking to a thing and killing one dude.
I think the one victory that I had with my Nubari, the Ape Reaver Mind Knight of Apophis, the arena design mattered a lot for that one because it was a melee pierce build in that, like, if I was out in like an open field, I would just be like completely surrounded and like range shot and just like taken down. But if I was able to like find a little corner to hide in and like just like sit in place and wait for the enemies to come to me, then I could just like poke them all like one by one. And that seemed to work pretty well. there was also my Tosu, the Tengu Nartaka Gothi of Hadad, also known as speed electro penguin, like anytime that I would like move back and forth, I would shoot electricity beams in a line towards the enemy, and that worked really well up until the final boss fight, who like was closing the distance to me, and I was like running out of room to like maneuver back and forth, and so I'm just like bouncing up and down, like move up, move down, move up, move down, zap, 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 zap. And he's like closing in to like annihilate me. And then I got him on like the last possible tile.
Ooh,
so here's what I think. Like the way that the speed mechanism works is there's the speed, which is very, it was hard for me to really understand how exactly speed is calculated, but like the faster you are, the more times you go between each like world game tick. And other enemies also had similar things. In the beginning of the game, when you're fighting low-level enemies, you can be, like, very much faster than them. You can be doing, like, 4 turns per their turn. But eventually, speed is capped at 100. And you're fighting enemies that have, like, 65 speed. So your speed relative to them slows down as the game progresses. So your ability to physically close the distance decreases. And what I think they need is they need something from StarCraft 2. They need Zealot Charge Lots. They need one of the martial skills to be like, you can move 3 tiles per step.
Or a grab, or like, yeah, or like, something that shortens that, like a grappling.
Yeah, there's a lot of like teleport things, but it's like, I don't want it to be teleported. I want it to be like, I am doing a heroic leap physically at the thing. Because there's so many, every melee build I would try and be like, I want to close the distance and it's just not effective, so I'm gonna abandon it and do something else, or like I'm gonna get the thing that lets me, it's like, oh, it's a melee, but I can also shoot it at 5 range.
I want to be the guy in the main menu fighting the green serpent.
I want to be like DBZ guy, but before they learn how to teleport and when they're just actually going really fast and flying.
Krillin and getting blasted into Krillin. A crater.
I want to be a Tien. Or I want to be like Goku when he's a kid. I don't want to do Kamehameha. Is that too much to ask?
No magic, just like raw force.
Yeah, muscle magic.
Muscle magic. I think my last nitpick for the game is that like the final boss fight didn't really feel like as climactic as it should have been, maybe. Again, like coming back to the comparison to Rift Wizard, like Rift Wizard's like Mordred final boss fight felt like a Titanic battle of like it's still something that I think about of like, oh man, like I like won that by the skin of my
multiple
teeth.
Stages and like flying around, like that felt cool.
I imagine Scott's loved ones just being like, what are you thinking about, babe? Oh, just that battle with Mordred. That was sick. For sure. It would have been, and you know, there are ways to achieve that, you know, different music, multi-stage battle, something fancy with the graphics.
Just the final level alone has like photorealistic graphics.
Unreal Engine 5 out of nowhere. Why is this game 25 gigabytes?
It's just actual no, it's still little tiles, but it's actual pictures of Sumerian runes.
Yep. Ooh, that'd be cool.
There you go. I hear you. That's a fair critique.
What else do we have on here on my topic list before we start winding down here? I feel like maybe like emphasizing the length of the game here, where like winning a run for this is like 30 to 45 minutes. And I feel like that it is like so underrated of like a game style design, where I'm thinking back to some previous other traditional roguelike games that we've played, where like runs can take a long time. Even like one of my top games of the podcast, Cogmind, like that'll take like at least like a couple hours or something. But like Mystery, like Sheer.
No, wait, hold on, Will's not here. That damn Cogmind. The opposite of Pogmind. We need to stop talking about that. Boy, what a stinker.
But we like earlier this season.
Oh shit, we haven't mentioned Slay the Spire once this whole podcast.
That counts.
It doesn't. It didn't come up naturally.
Okay,
streak.
I do have a sidebar for Slay the Spire. But yes. I think like for the length here, like we played Azure Dreams earlier this year, and like runs can kind of like go on for a while. Like your main quest in Tales of Majai was like 40 hours or something. Too long. Like the ones that I think rate pretty, like that have rated on average pretty high for us, like Doom RL, Jupiter Hell, Rift Wizard, like pretty snappy games. Like I feel like the coffee break roguelike design is just so much better. Like it synergizes with like the die fast, do something new again cycle much better than like Stay Tuned and a Half, Caves of Cud, where like if you're putting like 20 hours or something into a run and you get bludgeoned off screen by something that you had no idea about, feels bad, man. But like,
yeah, I mean, we use roguelike for way too many things. But it, like that starts just being like, well, it's a procedurally generated game that has many things in common with other games that have procedurally generated things. But there's definitely certain things that it's missing from something like this, where it's like you are doing runs because you just die.
All right, Slay the Spire corner. Channeling my inner Will here. I feel like there is a missed opportunity here with like, you know, like we were kind of talking about like the King of Many Colors, the titular boss fight feeling a little underwhelming. I feel like in a similar vein to Slay the Spire, like the Act 3 Slay the Spire bosses, like, oh, you beat it, congrats. But it's not like the heart boss, you know what I mean, where it's like this like insurmountable force, capital F force. And I feel like Path of Acra has like an opportunity, like with its like very streamlined like quote unquote node map that you're kind of maneuvering across, that like, oh, if you go into this like elite layer here and like kill this,
got the towers.
Well, they have the towers, but there's no, you know how like in Slay the Spire, there's like an incentive to go and like get the green, red, and blue keys.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like they already have the thing. You could just, it'd be like, oh, if you go to the red tower and the green tower and the blue tower, and then the weird thing in the end,
mm-hmm.
Then you get to fight the king of even more colors.
The king of all colors or something.
Ooh.
Or the king and king of, queen of...
The king of no colors.
Ooh.
It's just a black and white.
Damn.
All the color fades from... That would actually be...
Actually, that would be pretty cool if, like, the final level was just, like, just black and white. And, like, all of the graphics were, you know, instead of having them be, like, blue and red and whatever, it's just black and white.
That would be very manga, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's
solved it.
You know, as armchair game devs here, you know, our contracting fees are very minimal, but we'll come in, we'll fix your game, don't even worry about it. We'll just sit here in our armchairs and spout all sorts
we're
of
ideas, things. Man.
Yeah, you go ahead and game designer, you recline in thy glory and we will
we'll recline in our glory and you'll
good point.
You'll become
we won't actually be doing any work. Yeah.
Another thing to kind of point out is like a lot of the like damage stuff in this game feels very novel. Where like maybe it's just like me being cynical with like lots of AAA games, but like in like Elden Ring, where like everything is kind of a poison effect, like I'm gonna hit him with this and it's gonna slowly drain their HP or something. Like this feels like there's like all sorts of different interesting. There is poison, but there's also like nature effects or like self-damaging blood effects or things like that. And
doom,
yeah, like teleportate, like mind magic. There, it feels like, like there's maybe like a meme for Elden Ring that like everything is a poison damage, but like here it felt like, there's like it feels interestingly different and refreshing in a way that like you can only really get away with that kind of like low budget. Like experimentation aspect, lots of like different summon themes of like did anyone else try a summon build at all?
Oh sure,
I did. It didn't. I haven't really invested the time to figure out the one that works, but I'm sure based off how many there are, I'm guessing that some of them are super OP. I just don't. I haven't like stared at the character creation screen enough to figure out which one it is.
Summoning is one of the builds where you get to use the space bar a lot, which is the stand still and wait a turn.
Yes. I did try and complete a run recently where I only clicked space bar and I did do it.
Nice.
I did accidentally once hit tab to fight. And then you have to click tab. You have to click tab to go to the end. But
right. I can be forgiven.
I clicked tab because I thought I had killed everyone, but apparently there was still one left that I had forgotten about. But I did kill him with that.
Well, with that, is it time to ascend to the star path, the psychic realm, the mind warren,
the void,
the room at the back of the
rankings
mind?
Void?
Yes.
Let us become.
I would say so. I would
Andrew,
say so.
Start us off.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Once again, just want to reiterate, co-hosts really, really served me up a shit sandwich when it came. No, my co-hosts, they really stabbed me in the back, threw me in the gutter, left me for dead when it came to our reviewing scale. So my scale's all screwed up. Path of Acra, I'm going to give... Let me build a little tension actually first. This game kept reminding me of my time with 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, which had a lot. There was a lot to complain about in 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of those complaints, a lot of the common complaints I don't agree with. But the biggest issue that I had with the 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons is that although the combat system was very cool and interesting, they introduced the idea of powers for martial classes, so like rogues and fighters and things. They would have spell-like abilities. They would have these which would have, you know, very specific bespoke mechanical things so that you could you know, throw sand in somebody's eyes and blind them or push them around or what have you, which was very cool and neat. And since it was the edition that I started on, I thought it was, I was shocked to learn that what in third edition, a fighter just basic attacks. That's so boring. What about my Thunder Tusk Boar Strike or my, you know, Power Slam or Astral Condemnation, which we would jokingly call Ass Condom. We'd titter about all the time. And that was all cool, but holy shit, the combat took forever. You think fifth edition takes a long time. Fourth edition, like minimum 2 hour fight. Like anytime initiative was getting rolled, like it was brutal. And like on the regular, we were having to take photos, a bunch of reference photos of our map so that we could remember what was happening for next session. Anyway, all that to say, Path of Acra has kind of the opposite problem for me, is that because things are so beautifully and eloquently streamlined, I don't really have the time or the opportunity to like bask in the glory, to recline in the glory of the game. I prefer the way that Rift Wizard does it, that like it is fast enough. I'm like consciously choosing specific spells, moving myself in specific ways, and it's one of those things where this is no fault of the game. I have a lot of respect for this game. I think it's very impressive and cool, but for my type of brain, it doesn't really click. And in fact, character building, when I make a Dungeons and Dragons character, and I have unfortunately I was just talking about how great this was in fourth edition, but in current editions of Dungeons and Dragons, when I do pick a spellcaster and I have to be bothered to like pick spells, like I don't like character creation. I don't like the build process, and that is a personal failing of my own. And generally, I will just like role play. Like, well, what spells do I think I would have? Like, okay, this makes sense. Blah 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 blah. That being said, when an obvious like you know OP choice comes along, I usually pick that. Anyway, all this to say, Path of Acra is going to show up on my stacked rankings right ahead of Inscription and right behind Azure Dreams, having scored 5.64 points of glory. Who's next?
I'll go next. So unlike Andrew, who wants to recline in that glory, I want to just mainline it straight into my veins.
Yeah!
As much glory as fast as possible. I'm going to start off with the score. I'm going to give it an 8.2, with the caveat of with quality of life, I think you could have gotten it up to like a 9. I aired my grievances in quotes at the end, but they were genuinely like frustrations of mine with this game. Like so much of the game is making awesome builds and figuring out how to like break it. So like, many other games is like, oh, there's an OP build and you find your way to get to that one. Pretty much you can make dozens of OP builds, OP in quotes, here. And that's like, that is the point of the game. It's the OP build synergy combination simulator. And I enjoy that a lot. And so when I'm unable to figure out why that synergy is like, I can only theorycraft why this thing is destroying everything in the map in one turn, not see the stats on it. Like I want a graph. I want a pie chart. Like I realize this is some like weird niche thing you want in an already niche game, but that's what would make it better for me. The other things that like there were some, most of my other critiques of the game are in the same vein of just like, quality of life, a little bit easier to make things, a little bit easier to make descriptions to understand, you know, summaries of the monsters on them, so you like know vaguely what they do rather than have to like click on them and hover over each ability and try and like combine them in your brain and be like, this guy just he tries to do poison stuff. Like, great, cool. I know it's gist. But even with those critiques, I still had a great time playing this game. Like there's a lot of combinations and they're truly unique. They're truly, you can create things that function in vastly different ways to achieve the same results, just wiping the map. And, you know, I thought maybe I'd be getting bored of just like clicking tab and having the map be erased, but it just kind of feels good every time. It's just like click to win and know that you did it because you're smart and you, smart, in quotes, put together some build that worked out, or like you when it comes together in a way that feels very satisfying. So, yeah, 8.2, and I think with quality of life you could get it higher. I want mods for this game, but I don't think that's going to happen. High hopes for Lands of Acra.
Yeah, I'll bring us home here. It's an 8.95 for me, just behind Star of Providence, and I put it ahead of Tales of Majeal, because I think that like this game just like feels so good. The search bar is like such a galaxy-brained solution to the problem of like there's so much shit in this game. Like, how do I find the stuff that matters? Like, it's painful that it's not seen in like lots of other games of this type. I think the art and theme are great. I love all sorts of stuff. Like I have, you know, I ran and grabbed this the Sagas of the Icelanders book off my bookshelf because I have like 5 or 6 other books from, you know, my comparative mythology courses that I've taken in college that are just like themed. It's just like a perfect theme for me. I can understand if some people are not into Babylonian or Sumerian aesthetic, but it's something that I think like the sword and sorcery, like D&D medieval universe, like we need more of like giant worm monsters and blood gods and mysterious creatures of the deep tunnel land or apes, right? I mean, just the ape class itself, like automatic 7 out of 10 just there. But I think like the world building, the lore, the characters, the enemy designs, like the items, like everything is just, it's so well put together. The pixel art, if pixel art is your jam, I think is amazing. And it's like, it's just, it has so much character and uniqueness to it, of like all of the different enemies looking like all these cosmic horrors and all of your heroes looking very heroic and burly. But also like crucially, you know, you have like, there's so much like option and variety to it that is just, it's so great. And I feel like crucially it doesn't overstay its welcome. Like the coffee break roguelike length is so perfect for this, where like if this was like a 15 or 20 hour long campaign, yeah, I could see like, you know, maybe I'll put it down for a little bit, but it zips with a capital Z, and it zips faster and faster the more that you play it. And it just almost creates this kind of feedback loop of like, well, now I got to see how bad I can break it next time. And maybe that's its fatal flaw, is that it's maybe too fast for its own good in some cases, where you just screen wipe entire things and you're like, well, okay, it didn't really seem like there was much going on there. Didn't feel like there was a whole lot of like one-on-one like meaningful like tactical battles with other like elites that I kind of got from Rift Wizard. But like those are, I think, overshadowed by just how much I like the high points of this game, that all of my critiques on here I think are just like minor nitpicks for the most part. But yeah, Path of Acra, that'll wind that part down. I think similar games to this, we've talked a lot about them. I mean, the upcoming Lands of Acra, maybe later this year, 2025, there's two games that are kind of similar to that, of like this weird 4X like grand strategy but also like roguey question mark. Colin, I don't know if you've heard of like the Dominions series, like Dominions 5 Warriors of the Faith or something.
I've heard of it vaguely, but not much more than that.
Or Conquest of Elysium. I think those are two.
I was just looking at Conquest of Elysium because apparently Lands of Acra is inspired by that.
Yeah. So yeah, like the, for sure, those will be something to wet your whistle until Humbaba takes 4X form. And you're going to have armies.
He becomes.
Of Yeah. You become Humbaba. But yeah, between all the previous episodes that we've done for, I'm going to lump all these into Coffee Break roguelike territory with Doom RL, Jupiter Hell, previous episodes, Rift Wizard 1, previous episode. I'm going to put Cube Chaos as a Coffee Break roguelike in there as well, just in terms of its wild synergy madness. Tales of Majael, definitely not Coffee Break length, but like in terms of wild, like break the game synergies, certainly gets there. One that we haven't covered yet, and I think I have plans on how to figure out how to put like the dog medicine in the cheese roll to serve it to my co-host here for Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup. That is a game that I think is longer than Path of Acra. There might be some opinions on auto do everything in that game, similar to here, but yeah, another kind of very like combat first focused, like none of this lore business, none of this like inventory management nonsense, none of this food meter crap. Get all that out of the way. Just give me the Minotaur with the axe and let's go crushing stuff. Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup, a stay tuned and a half for sure on that front. But yeah, I think that with those similar games out of the way and with our rankings out of the way, we will wind down our path here. We will lay our heroes to rest on the astral path. And yeah, thank the listeners for giving us the Path of Acra episode, where you can email us at grogpodzone@gmail.com. You can see all the ape-based Acra posting I've been doing on Mastodon, grogpod at gamedev.place, and grogpod.zone, the website, the contact us tab on there, where you can submit the Google form for what we should, what you guys want to see us play. Because it's a listener request episode, I'll read off this this very nice Apple review that we got on Apple Podcasts.
Apple? Oh, wow. All right.
From one AJSBDFNJWVDBA.
Ah, classic.
Classic. Who says, keep up the great work. 5 stars. I love the podcast. I found the analysis of gameplay really insightful. You can tell that the hosts are experienced gamers. I don't know about that part. The banter between the hosts gamers seems very genuine, and they seem like actual friends. I think they mentioned they went to college together or something. They make funny and self-aware jokes. I think one or more of the hosts has a data science background, so they also sprinkle in some brief game analytics in there too. One of the past reviews mentioned issues with microphone quality. The audio quality has definitely improved recently. Hooray!
I really power of moving the mic closer to your face.
Indeed, yeah. I really respect that you guys have kept the niche podcast going for so long. Keep up the great work. From AJSBDN. Yeah, all the letters.
All right. Hey, AJBDSM. Thank you so much for your message. Hey, no, that's great to hear. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We are friends, and it's a lot of fun recording this, and it's also fun to know that some of y'all are listening in and enjoying yourselves, rock and roll. And hey, AJ, be sure to drop a request for our next request episode, listener request episode, which will, I'm sure, be upon us in no time. But in the meantime, we have a host pick, Will, who's not here. so I guess we're skipping him. We'll just tab on past that. No, what do we got? Next episode.
Well, we're putting the emphasis on Pilgrim. We're John Wayne-ing the Pilgrim this time for a free-to-play roguelike Western themed roguelike deck builder called Dot 45, which seems it. I guess you're building out your decks of six shooter bullets that you're scouring the umbral Western saloons.
Sure, one can only assume that we'll pick this because the name is a reference to a caliber of ammunition. So looking forward to talking about all the ins and outs and wild inaccuracies of the firearm presentation in this deck builder.
That's not how you load acid bullets into a Colt revolver.
Not even close. not even close.
The greatest game ever.
This been. I've took a took a little gander at this game. It I definitely like what they've done with the UI. Looking forward to checking it out.
All right. Well, between then and now, we'll actually yeah, that's going to wind up our Path of Acra episode. So, to play us out, a quote from something that's very appropriate. Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arios, there was an age undreamed of. And unto this, Mira, the Cyclops, Aslan, and Roth of Eris, destined to wear the amethyst helm upon a troubled brow, play us out, O soundtrack, on a path of high adventure!